I'm Master at Life and Weight Loss Coach, Jillian Lama, and you're listening to the Body You Crave podcast, where you'll learn how to end emotional eating, lose excess weight, and feel amazing in your body. No cheating required. Keep listening, and I'll show you how. Hey, hey, welcome back. All right. Happy Thanksgiving week. I hope everyone is having a wonderful time, safe travels for those of you traveling. And this is, I think, just a prime time to start talking about food pushers. And this is often, it's going to be people who will typically give love through food, through cooking, and then they receive love by you eating their food. And so sometimes on the flip side, then we feel pressured to eat. So we feel pressured to go back for seconds, to eat more. We feel pressured to eat certain food, especially if they made it just for us. We might feel guilty. And so really what we want to do is unwind this ball of yarn that is all knotted up with our thoughts, with expectations, with our emotions, with what we think their emotions are, with what we think maybe their thoughts are, and really like work this out. And I want to also make sure that there's a clear distinction between a food pusher and a food offerer. So you have pushers who typically will serve you more food. They'll encourage you to eat more. Oh, please go back for more. Please eat more. Are you sure you're done? Eat, right? It's like it feels like they are pushing food on you. Or it might even feel like there's a guilt trip of, but I spent so many hours. I spent so much money on this. I spent so much time. I made this just for you. And so this is where we have to own our emotions and not theirs. They get to own theirs. And we now get to sit in the discomfort of their potentially discomfort or uncomfortable or negative emotions. But also understanding there's a difference between a pusher and an offerer. So somebody who's going to offer you food might say, hey, did you get enough to eat? Are you satisfied? Would you like seconds? Would you like more? Did you see there's pie over here or there's dessert over on this table? Did you see I made these cookies that you really grab one if you want one? And they're not pushing. It might feel like they're pushing because a lot of times we get so worked up and we're anxious about it and we're anxious about food and we don't feel comfortable saying no or no thank you. But a lot of times they're just saying, oh, I know you like this. I made these if you want one. And they might not always say if you want one. It might sound like, oh, I made these for you. I know you like these, so I made these for you. But it doesn't mean that they're pushing food on you. So this is where we really have to get clear on the little nuances around what is actually happening. And this is one of the reasons why I love some of the coaching tools that I work with, because we are going to look very specifically at what is the circumstance, not what you're making it mean, not the story that you're telling yourself, but what is the circumstance? And a circumstance here would be like their exact words. There are like, here's specifically what they said, like in quotes, this is exactly what they said. There is no emotion. There is no story. It is very much just here are the words or here's what happened. There were 5 desserts on the table. Like we want to get just the facts, not what you're making it mean, not the deliberation and how you ended up getting a piece of all of them. We just want to know what are the facts. And it's really good here to see when we're bringing our own drama into these experiences and creating unnecessary suffering, making it worse, making it harder, versus when we need to really handle someone else's emotions. And so I see like when I remember first talking about this a few years ago, and my mom had even said, oh my gosh, I think I'm a food pusher. And I don't think she was a pusher. I think she's more of an offerer, or at least back then. Now she's definitely an offerer. But now I think even back then, I wouldn't say she was a pusher so much as she was an offerer. And maybe she can disagree with me if she wants to. That's fine. But but you have people who simply want to make sure, oh, are you full? Did you get enough to eat? Are you satisfied? Would you like seconds of anything? They're just asking. It's a very simple asking of a question. She's not walking around putting more food on your plate. She's not walking around overtly saying, you need to eat more so that I feel loved and so that I know I am cared for. So it's just knowing these subtle differences and how you want to handle them. I think sometimes too, what happens with quote food pushers, or sometimes it's alcohol pushers, it's people don't want to feel bad about their eating, about their drinking. So they want to get other people to eat and drink with them. And just to be clear, I'm not putting my mom in this category. This this is separate. But you have some people where they feel guilty by eating pie and cookies. They don't want to feel guilty, and they don't want to be the only one doing that. So they are going to get more people to eat with them. And if they can get you to eat with them or drink with them, that's great. So that's why it's, oh, do you want to, it's not just, hey, do you want to split a bottle of wine with me? It's, hey, I'm going to get another bottle. You're going to help me drink it. Are you sure you don't want another glass? Oh, come on. It's just one more. It'll be so much fun. Oh, don't worry about it. There's a difference between, hey, would you like to split a bottle of wine? Hey, would you like another glass? Or what is actually being maybe like pushed or encouraged. And so we can know when that's coming from a place that it might be coming from a place. We can't always know this, okay? But sometimes it's coming from a place of they just want to feel better about themselves, about their choices. It's not about you. Most of the time, this has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with them, their thoughts, their beliefs, what's good or bad, right and wrong. And if more people are doing it, they can feel better about themselves, okay? So just know that going in. But one of the things that I do with clients is I really help them understand what is happening in their brain around the food. So if somebody is offering, if somebody is pushing, if they feel the need to people please by eating, we want to understand what is the emotion that I'm feeling? What is it that what is it that I want to avoid feeling? What's the emotion I want to create? And what's the story that's creating that? For example, I think a lot of times around the holidays, we have a fear of missing out. I don't want to miss out on the fun. I don't want to miss out on the good times. And I think I have to be eating and drinking in order to do that. So we have a thought of, I don't want to miss out. We want to feel included and connected, right? That's the desire. That's the pleasure that we're seeking. And we want to avoid feeling excluded or left out. But typically, this only happens in our brain. This doesn't actually like usually really happen. This is just in our brains, how we're perceiving it. And so we eat in order to create the feeling of being connected or to be included. And we eat to avoid the feeling of being excluded or left out. So we want to break all of these down, right? Maybe you're eating to please other people, or you don't want to hurt their feelings. So you have a thought of, it would be rude not to eat more. I don't want to hurt their feelings. We want to avoid feeling guilty, and we have this sense of obligation. And so we eat to avoid our own guilt about saying no, and we eat to hope that we can prevent them from feeling a negative emotion too, which is fascinating. Not only can I eat and overeat or maybe overdrink and do these things to prevent my own negative emotions, if I'm going to buffer for myself, so I'm going to avoid this negative emotion, I'm also going to buffer on behalf of somebody else. Which is wild. It's okay, I'm going to eat so that hopefully they don't have to feel this negative emotion. Isn't that fascinating? Oh my gosh. Not right. And we can do this with any kind of habit. And it might be like, it could be around dating, right? It's anytime it comes up with somebody else, it could be marriage or parenting. It's, I'm going to do these things to not just avoid my emotions or my potential response, but to avoid somebody else's emotions, their response, to keep that positive. So we can people please in so many ways, and eating and drinking and like giving in to things, like, or it could be like giving in to your kids and a tantrum. We really want to understand and see how this all plays out. But really, it's okay, if I feel guilty by saying no, I'm going to say yes and keep eating instead of allowing myself to feel guilty and allowing you to potentially feel disappointed, hurt, rejected. And so this is where we just have to recognize like the misplaced gratitude and misplaced responsibility, because we can still be really grateful without needing to eat. And I think that's a lot of what's happening here, right? Is like people want to feel appreciated, valued, loved. When you do spend a lot of time and money and energy cooking, like there is a sense of you want people to enjoy it. And you want to feel good. You want to feel like that was of value and that people appreciate that. But that's for them to own, right? Just like for you, if you're the one cooking, that's for you to appreciate and value yourself and not constantly be looking for that external validation. So sometimes we eat to appease the food pusher. So it's, oh, why won't they just leave me alone? Could they stop it already? And so we get tired of saying no. We get tired of the looks. We get tired of their comments. And so we feel obligated or frustrated or maybe angry. And so we eat to appease. We eat to get to a certain behavior to stop, which is not a good thing that we want to like positively reinforce. Just like with kids, when you say no and they keep pestering you and then you say yes, it's okay, now we're training them. That's how they get what they want. Same thing here with food. But we have to have that willingness to allow other people to feel all of their emotions. So there could be some perfectionism that comes out, right? Like you have two cookies and then maybe your thought is, oh, I already ruined my diet. I can't be perfect. Why bother now? And we become apathetic. We become permissive. A lot of times there's disappointment, like you're disappointed in yourself. And so really the key here for any holiday, especially Thanksgiving though, on a day where it's very much normalized to overeat and overindulge, is to make a realistic plan. So plan the entire day. Don't skip meals. Eat. Don't make your dinner the only meal that you're eating that day, right? Don't be ravenously hungry. So make a plan for your other meals, other snacks. Plan in things that you actually like and enjoy. So if you like dessert, plan in dessert. Plan in your snacks or appetizers. And then give yourself options. So maybe it's I'm going to have, you know, one dessert and I can do half a piece of pie, or I can do half a piece of pie and half a piece of cake. Like you can mix and match some things, because a lot of times we just want to sample stuff. So, okay, can I do small pieces of three different things and just have three bites of each one? And I always recommend going for what's an 8 out of 10 or better. Like it needs to be an 8 out of 10 or we're not eating it. So making trade-offs throughout the day. If I know dinner might be a little bit heavier, or I know, for example, when I go out to eat, or if there's going to be fries involved or pizza, or in the past, sometimes it was pasta. I know I'm going to do like a lighter lunch. I'm going to make sure I get in a lot of veggies. That way there's flexibility and I don't have to get so hung up on each individual meal. I'm looking at the day as a whole. I'm looking at like maybe the weekend as a whole, and plan for your travel days. This is another really big thing. Be intentional and plan for your travel days. Don't just say screw it, but think ahead. It just takes a little bit of planning. So today we're driving up to the airport. I have some fruit and veggies like chopped up and ready for us to take. I'm planning for us to eat at the airport. It might be a Chick-fil-A day. It depends on how much time we have. If there's time to sit down at a restaurant, I'll probably do a salad with grilled salmon. There's a restaurant up there I'll typically go to before my flights when I can like time it and have time to do that comfortably. And if not, that's fine. I'm going to do Chick-fil-A. And I'm going to get a salad with grilled chicken and then probably a side of fries that I'll split with the little guy. He'll do some chicken fingers and fruit and like easy day. And it's not a problem. So it's just about being mindful and aware. So this is my biggest recommendation, is we have to just be aware of what's actually happening. What are we making it mean? Why does it actually feel hard? Why does it feel frustrating? Like, we don't want to go into events feeling anxious or worried, or, oh no, I'm not going to be able to stick with my plan, or this is going to be a problem. It's, you know what to expect for the most part. Like sometimes we're going to go to events for the first time, but a lot of times like we know what to expect. So now let's plan and be really calm and conscious and aware of what's happening and aware of what we're putting in our mouth, and always recognizing that you are choosing that. Food doesn't magically jump off the plate and fly into your mouth. You are choosing this. So now let's just choose wisely, right? Let's just choose better. And let's just start getting 1% better. That's it. If you want some help with this, about learning how to eat healthy and to develop these consistent habits so that you can create the life and body you crave, so that you can create this binge-free life, so that you can create a life where you feel in control of food, where you feel at ease and peace around it, where you can plan ahead, but it doesn't take up all of your mental bandwidth, where you're not constantly obsessed and consumed with all of the thoughts and the drama around food, then I would love to chat. You can schedule a free consultation at www.bodyyoucrave.com/schedule, and I'll show you how to make this your reality, because this is 100% possible for you starting this year. Y'all ready? Here's to creating the life and body you crave.
If you like this episode, then you'll love my free virtual workshop, 5 keys to end emotional eating and lose excess weight for life. You'll learn the counterintuitive reason why all your attempts to restrict food over the years has actually led to weight gain, and the mental switch you need to flick that'll have you dropping pounds without sacrificing wine, carbs, or the food you love. Get all the details at bodyyoucrave.com.